We're trying to be more valuable in the first 30 seconds of me going live is not valuable, just like we are now. We're live right now. All right, let's get right into it. Welcome, everybody. Make sure you can hear us okay. Make sure you can see us okay. Important discussions that we need to have as a community, I think, especially those that invest in Tesla. And the idea behind these forums is to have an open dialogue about the different sides and the different perspectives that people have in respects to Tesla, their investments, the company, Elon Musk, and what's going on. And this is, there's a big contingency. There's a big community out there of people that are very interested in this story. And I think my role in this community is to provide a forum for all sides to be heard, discussed, and the ideas to flow very freely between each other and debating them in a very respectful manner. That is ultimately, I think, how I can bring the most value as a member of this community. And I'm very thankful to have both Borghan and Hans with me today to go through that process. It's not going to be an easy discussion. I mean, I'll tell you that right now, but I'm extremely confident that this panel is going to have a very respectful conversation about everything that's going on today. And it's very important for those in the comments, as you can hear my dog barking in the background, I think they agree with me, is that it has to be extremely respectful in the comment section as well. And so for all the ones that are mods in the comment section, if there are any personal attacks, immediate ban. All right. But if there's ideas and thoughts that are being shared, however controversial, not controversial, we need to allow those to come to the forefront. And I encourage everybody to have a discussion on those thoughts. All right. So this is how we figure out what's going on. And this is how we're able to give everybody an idea of the whole picture. It's very important to not be just focused on one side. And as a content creator, I get everyone's side. So I can tell you, there is a lot of sides, y'all. I get a lot of DMs, okay? And what you think is like the side is not. I'm telling you right now, bro, it's not, okay? So my role is to make sure we have a platform for all of us to discuss how we're feeling, what we're thinking about, and we're going to debate it. You know, in the spirit of free speech and building a strong community, we're going to debate them in a very respectful manner. So thank you, Borghan. Thank you, Hans, for joining me today. And then, so Borghan was actually sharing a thought before we went live. And I don't want to give you the stand to start going through that. And then we can just bounce ideas off of that. And let's see where the conversation goes. So I'll hand over the mic to you. Thank you.
So kind of where we just ended our conversation, we were talking about, you know, if the stock price was up, what would we be saying? You know, if we were sitting at 700, would we be talking about the same issues and nonsense? That's my term, by the way, the nonsense that's going on, or we just kind of tolerate it, dismiss it, and accept our $700. So, and I kind of think that we would just kind of accept the $700 and just go our merry way, which is an interesting commentary on us, you know, as a group, the shareholders. I don't think it's a positive statement, but I think it's factual. The other thing we were talking about, one of the other things we were talking about is that Elon might not be able to kind of gauge the reaction of the Tesla shareholders. And, you know, apparently he has some type of social disorder, so he's not reacting to things the way a typical person would, is the way I would put it. And that might keep him from kind of understanding the reaction of Tesla shareholders, which certainly is not very positive. And I don't think he has like a best friend, or this is my impression, and I may be wrong. I don't think he has a best friend or somebody close enough to him that can tell him, you're being an asshole, stop it, that he would listen to. And I think that's another shortcoming. And I think all those things are coming into play at the same time.
Hans, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on probably the side of just feeling like I don't necessarily... A lot of the things that are bothering a lot of people right now are not bothering me. And so I'm maybe somewhat have been dismissive of people who are very frustrated and upset with Elon right now. But then I also, you know, in having conversations with people, realize that everyone else is coming from a different place, and maybe part of, it's interesting to understand why things are not bothering me the way that they're bothering other people right now, but then also why they're bothering other people the way that they are right now, and then validating those things. And so I think for me, I probably have 25, maybe 30, somewhere between 25 and 35% of my overall net worth is just Tesla stock. And that's in a mix of retirement accounts and brokerage accounts. And so while I do expect that to be a much larger percentage of my overall net worth in the future, and I'm actually accumulating now at this lower stock price because I anticipate, when I go back and I think about the bets that I've made in the past, I made the mistake when the stock market was tanking in the beginning of COVID of I knew that we were in for a long haul mess. And I thought, okay, because we're going to be in a long haul mess, the stock market is going to continue to get more and more and more depressed. And so I believe in Tesla 100%. And this may be an opportunity for me to sell now and then in the future to buy back at a lower stock price and accumulate more shares. Well, right after that, the Fed started printing money and the stock market went into V-shaped recovery. And I ended up having a smaller position when I bought back in than I started with. And so this is kind of sitting in the back of my mind right now is like, I don't know, and I don't expect a V-shaped recovery in the current macro environment, but I know that I don't ever want to sell shares again when the stock price is lower because I know, it may not be a V-shape. We may not be 6 months. It may be 5 years before the value in the stock market reflects what I believe that the stock is worth. But I'm not selling shares, and when it's on a discount, I'm actually buying. And so that's kind of where my psychology is at. But I also know that I can pay all my bills. Like I only invested money that I could afford to lose all of. I don't have any margin. Actually, I do have a little bit right now in a brokerage account. But very, very minimal. So essentially zero margin. And so the consequences for me of the stock price falling precipitously are, pretty low. And I've got enough cash flow right now to start accumulating more and more as the price falls. And so I'm looking at it as, this is a gift that I can, for whatever reason, whether it's Elon selling or whether it's the macro environment, that I can start buying back the shares that I lost by selling too early at the beginning of COVID and actually finally getting my position to be larger than it was when I initially sold it. And so that's what I'm doing. Now, that said, the reason that I can feel comfortable in this place is because I correctly sized my positions and siloed my risk in the first place. And that was, just a gift that I was able to give myself based on some other, like I come from a background of doing a lot of Dave Ramsey things. We got out of debt early on in our marriage using his principles. And while I don't agree with necessarily all of his investment criteria, a lot of his budgeting and stuff, I 100% am aligned with. And so that helped me to not get overextended and over leveraged. So that's why I feel the way that I do. And now I can put myself in the mindset of someone who maybe your budget, like your cash flow, can't support covering a margin call. You didn't have a proper perspective on debt and what it could do to you. So you got high debt. You can't service a margin call. And
Can I
as the
push back
price
on you a little
falls,
bit, Hans? Let me
yeah,
push
go
back
for
a
it.
little bit on you, Hans. So what about the person that says, well, I'm extremely well financially positioned, but I feel like Elon's fucking me over because of how he's acting right now? So how, like, I'm curious, like, what kind of perspective can you shed from your viewpoint on that? Because I think
Well,
that's a lot.
I would
That's a
just
lot of
ask
people right now.
a question like, is it seems like, and this is just a guess on my part, if you feel like you're being screwed over because you see your current net asset value, like your net worth is half or, you know, three quarters or a third of what it was a year ago, like, is that the reason that you feel so screwed over? Is it just because it's paper losses? Like, if you haven't sold, if you haven't, like, if you're in a position where you are financially stable and you haven't had to sell, my question is, okay, if it's still going to be in the same place 5 or 10 years from now, irregardless of where it is today, why does that matter?
Okay. Richard, do you have any thoughts from your side?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a lot of it is just that people are uncertain, so they don't know, and that creates fear, and that's what they're dealing with. They feel like they have no control over, you know, what's going on. Just to qualify, since Hans qualified, so I was thinking as you were saying, so probably 20 to 25% of my seven-figure net worth is in Tesla. Of that, probably two-thirds of that I can hold for at least 11 years. And so I'm kind of with that's my horizon. And I'm hoping my 20-25% ends up being 175% of my net worth at that point in time.
Sure.
What concern me really is, you know, we hear all these concerns, like because we've talked about, you know, we've had these sessions. We talked about like using Tesla assets on Twitter. We talked about whether he'd be selling to do Twitter and whether that would be a breach of trust. We talked about this like a month or two ago, and we were going to let it play out, and it's played out. It's not really played out in a way that I would say shines a great light positively on Elon. But my greatest concern is, you know, ultimately we need institutional ownership for stability. And until we have institutional ownership who are going to be here forever, once they're locked in, they're going to be here forever. If they got a value and they're going to make a ton of money forever, they're here. But we don't have that. And the nonsense discourages that because ultimately they have somebody else they have to speak to. And let's say, you know, somebody, and I'm sure Dan Ives is probably in this position. He's recommending Tesla to his clients, let's say a year ago. Now they're coming back to him. What is he going to say? You know, they've gotten slaughtered, and that's the concern I have is guys like Dan Ives, who I think is a pretty straight guy, fair. He was pissed when his recent comments. It wasn't just that he didn't like what happened; he was pissed. I think he really was pissed at Elon because he had heard. He had got, su suffered personal ramifications in his business. And if he's kind of pissing off the institutional brokers that were pro-Tesla, that's a problem.
Okay. Go ahead, Hans.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so I think that a lot of the things that Elon maybe said were a little bit thoughtless, especially the done selling. Like it was a question that was posed to him, are you done selling? And he responded yes. Now we don't know in his mind, like, yes, over what time period. But my generous interpretation of the situation is that just like a lot of people have been telling us, getting into Twitter was a crap deal. As far as just how much of a mess Twitter is and how hard this is going to be moving forward. Now, for those of us who really, I guess maybe that's the other thing that helps me not to feel too upset by the Twitter debacle is I think it's really, really important that Elon at least try to fix Twitter for the future of humanity. And I give him the benefit of the doubt on that. And I also understand that this thing, I don't think that he expected to have to sell. And I think he's in a situation now where he feels like he needs the liquidity. He didn't expect to need the liquidity. Now he has to sell, and obviously he can't broadcast that ahead of time because then he'll be prosecuted for insider trading or just get screwed over on his ability to liquidate those shares. But I think that's kind of the price that, if we believe that Twitter is important for him to at least try to fix, and it may fail, like it really may fail. But I'm hopeful that he's able to succeed, and I guess I'm able to eat a little bit of the pain that I'm experiencing as a Tesla shareholder as just a way to support Elon in this mission that I do think is important. And I know a lot of other Tesla shareholders, they don't care about Twitter. They didn't think it was broken. They don't want it to be fixed, and they see that it is a giant shit show, and it is, it creates a lot of noise. I think, unfortunately, that part of this is just the sausage, how the sausage gets made. And then the other thing is that there was a clip from the BBC interviews recently where one of the ladies who was the nerd whisperer, or the Pied Piper of the nerds, and she was talking about, there's a lot of things about Elon that are really tough to deal with, but I wouldn't change it because if you change it, you may mess with the secret recipe that makes him so successful. And I think that maybe it's just good to remember that we have to take the good with the bad. And I like this is a period where a lot of the unfortunate ramifications of Elon's personality are on full display, and we're all having to come to grips with that. And the thing is, if we think that ultimately we trust his intentions, and we can call him out and say, like, I think you need PR. I think you need to not say thoughtless things whenever they come to mind all the time. Please stop XYZ. Like, we should do all those things, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I still don't think there's anyone else who can make the sizable dents in the huge humanity scale problems that he can make. And yeah, so I think my encouragement then would be for people who really feel screwed over, try and give him the benefit of the doubt in intentions, but then call him out in a way that is honest, but maybe understanding.
I think it's at the service to Elon and his like leadership teams if the folks that are part of his company, i.e. the investors, because that's what being a public company means. I think it would be a disservice if folks don't voice their true feelings towards what's happening, because I know for a fact the way the guy operates, Elon, is based on feedback, both positive and negative, and he's been very open about that. And I saw firsthand that that's the secret recipe to success for the company that he runs in Tesla. Okay. That is so incredibly important. The amount of negative feedback we would get at that company would almost want to like force you to curl up in a ball and question why you're even alive half the time because you're a failure. Okay. That's the kind of very honest
But he
feedback that's
wants
required. Go ahead.
dispassionate feedback, right? Not you're
Exactly.
giving me feedback because you hate me, feedback because you like this is an actual fact.
There
And
you
I
go.
think, one of the things that they were talking about on the All In podcast, I think it was the All In podcast, was that Elon kind of is thin-skinned when it comes to people making attacks that he feels like are personal attacks or off-base attacks. And so I think he's miscategorizing some of the feedback around his actions as not necessarily being rooted in fact and being dispassionate. And so that's what I'm saying, like, we should present that feedback to him about some of the things that he's not seeing. And that's, I think that especially like Alexandra needs to keep pressing on the PR thing. Like, he needs PR so bad. And we just need to continue to push forward on that, but do it in a way, hopefully, that he can hear, that's not necessarily also a tied into a personal attack. Like, these actions
Yep.
are a disservice, not Elon, I hate you, you're screwing us over.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was going to say is, I agree with Hans in respect that this way. I believe he really did intend that the last sales before this round were final. And I believe it appears to me that maybe that's true. And I believe that maybe he, since he got into Twitter, he's determined he needs extra cash to run it. Or the alternative theory I've heard is maybe the lenders are requiring the cash to collateralize whatever loans he has. So the cash is just sitting there, but and it'll be available at some point in time, but he has to have it not available, and he needed to sell the shares to do that. And the fact that he sold shares at the bottom, a very rock bottom price, kind of rang out in desperation, really sounded like he had to do it. Because otherwise, why would he do it? Why would you sell at the bottom if you had a choice? But I'm going to take that and put that against kind of things he said. Before the last earnings call, he was pushing the stock like crazy, if you recall. And then he promoted the buyback, right? He threw that out also. So on one hand, he's pushing the stock. He's talking about a buyback. At the same time, he's selling probably more shares than he ultimately would buy back. And there's no doubt that when he's selling like 7 or 10 million shares a day, that's putting downward pressure on the stock. And I don't find those two things consistent. You can't be talking about buybacks. You can't be encouraging the purchase of stock. I think even he threw in Twitter language like, and I don't remember the exact Twitter language, but I got your back, kind of like stuff like that. He threw out like little nuggets like that. And in the end, to be honest, and again, I'm here for the duration, but I'm just trying to be what I think. In the end, I think he fucked us short term in the end. That's my opinion. And it made me think, it really taught me a lesson, and maybe a bigger lesson, that in the short term, you can't trust what he says in terms of making your decisions. You have to do your own due diligence. Make sure you're comfortable in your decision and leave him out of that. Because ultimately, and this is not bad, but this is ultimately true. But ultimately, we all act in our own best interest. Ultimately, we may, you know, do things that help others, but ultimately we're trying to stay alive and we're trying to act in our own best interest. And when he's acting, I don't think it's any different. And I'm sure he's acting in the best of intentions and et cetera. But I think in the short term, no longer am I going to trust what he says. And it's kind of like when I first started investing, I had Chinese EV companies because I really liked the company. But I had to get hit in the face enough times where the Chinese government did something and the stock went down 20%. Happened like 5 or 6 times. It made me really uncomfortable. Even though I think those companies are excellent, I just couldn't tolerate it. Tesla, I'm in long term. But if I just started and didn't know anything, I'd probably bail because it's just too much chaos for like a newcomer in my, just the way I through my limited learning experience.
Yeah. I think the, sorry, Hans, I wasn't sure if you're going to, you're good. Okay. Yeah. I think the crazy sort of, thing that's starting to develop during this time is that, of course, Elon and his companies are long-term. Of course. That's why I have so much confidence that in, say, 5 to 10 years' time, Tesla is going to be by far the largest company in the world, and it's going to transform everything about how we transport each other. It's going to transform what labor means. Of course, I feel that way. That, otherwise, I wouldn't be so freaking passionate about the Elon and his companies, obviously. At the same time, I think it's very important to recognize that some of the short-term things that happen with his behavior can very much erode trust in people. Very much so. You know, it's, you know, I see my phone every day. I get texts. Wow, what a piece of shit. Like that's literally the kind of text I get. And I'm being candid here. I don't believe he's a piece of shit, but that's the kind of text I get. And I get it. I get it. I think, and that's part of the thing I think that's missing from this discussion is that all in all, although he's a net positive to mankind, and although he's from all intents and purposes appears to be a good person and has the right thing in mind for moving his companies forward. And really also, you know, let's not forget the fact that those that invested in Tesla back in 2010, 2012, 2015, 2018 are very well off today. Like they're doing really, really well, especially if you put a lot of money in that company. But at the same time, if we're not cognizant of the fact that some of this behavior can be damaging to the brand and to an individual, it's a disservice to Elon. It's a disservice to ensuring that that feedback doesn't, like that doesn't just get put under the rug and saying, okay, yeah, well, he did it this time. He's not going to do it again. Like that can't be the assumption. There has to be, he's built this feedback loop almost with this community. And I think it behooves us to ensure that all opinions get heard, because there might be a nugget of wisdom there for him to take and be like, okay, I get why this could have a negative impact. It's completely up to him if he thinks that's important or not, right? That's a completely different discussion. And I think a lot of people will argue and be like, well, you're just worried about the short term. Who cares? In the long term, you're going to do great. Sure, fine, cool. But as an individual, I worry about how, you know, some people view him. I worry about sort of his... if he keeps going down this route, there's a small chance that, you know, he's not going to be viewed in the way that he would hope to be viewed, right? So that's the, I think that's very important. That's really, really important, and it can't be dismissed. Sorry, Hans, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to agree. As far as removing the logical, like you said, I think we're all going to be fine in the long run as far as execution. Like, that's what I'm looking at. The execution of Tesla right now is still exactly where I'm expecting it to be. Nothing's changed there. But more to your point, what we're really talking about ultimately is the brand value of Elon Musk and that the actions that he's undertaken over the past month, a couple months, you know, really, I think, have eroded his brand value in the eyes of a lot of his most vocal supporters. And, you know, you have to be cognizant of the 80-20 rule, that 20% of your people are going to give you 80% of the positive press or feedback in the marketplace that you want. And, you know, if you're saying, hey, I'm going to embark on this direction and it's going to alienate half of that 20% of people, so now I've only got 10% left, like that can have a huge impact on the overall positive sentiment that exists in the marketplace for you. And so that's, I think, what we're wrestling with and maybe having a little bit of a hard time diagnosing and understanding why it feels like such a big deal. And I think that's why, is because it's a big deal in the brand equity sense. Yep. And yeah, like that has massive long-term implications.
Can we just get a little meta here? Sorry, I'm frustrated with all the people who are frustrated. Funny, go ahead, Richard.
I'm not frustrated. I would hope that he gets a compensation plan soon. I would feel a lot more comfortable. I was thinking about this. If he had a compensation plan in effect starting tomorrow, if the stock price goes to 1,000, he gets 60 billion shares. I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm making up the totals. But I'd like to kind of tie him back. I'd like to redirect his attention. And if I make his compensation really Tesla dependent, that makes me feel better. I still, and you know, ultimately, he's got to be super rich to accomplish what he wants to do. If he wants to go to Mars, he's got to have a ton of money. If Tesla is worth $40 a share, he ain't going to Mars. So that's kind of part of it. The other thing I was going to say is, I think what happens also, and I've experienced this myself, I'm super well-intentioned about something. I act on it, and the response is, whoa. Completely unexpected and negative, and it's surprising. And so I believe that Elon is super well intentioned, but
Yeah.
sometimes his behavior is inappropriate, and that's not a knock on him. That's just an observation. That's just black and white, and
Exactly.
it's unfortunate. But sometimes people react when like Elon believes he's trying to save the planet, so people giving him shit about it, I can understand why that would create some kind of resentment. I'm trying to do this for you. And but it might not make you receptive to things that you should be receptive to. And I
I
think
think it,
that's going on, part of the play.
yeah, I think that he that puts a chip on his shoulder, and he actually uses that chip as the fuel and the motivation for him to go forward. Like if you think about the 60 Minutes interview when they talked about people like Buzz Aldrin thinking that his plans for SpaceX were a terrible idea, and like that really hurt him. He's like, I'm never gonna stop. And I think that he like what you're seeing there is him saying all the pushback against me is the fuel that I use to continue to move forward and never stop. Sometimes that's a great dynamic to have, especially like when you're trying to go 0 to 1 and get something off the ground that literally is pretty close to impossible. You really need that. But that dynamic is not always helpful and constructive. And sometimes it's Napoleon going into Russia. And I think that's what everyone is afraid of is, are we getting into a point where he's making some strategic blunders that are ultimately like he just doesn't understand the full ramifications of his actions and, you can only do the impossible so many times before it bites you in the butt.
Yeah, I was going to say during this Twitter. I'm sorry. I was
Sorry,
saying during
just
this
a
Twitter.
just real
Sure.
quick. Sorry, real quick. I'm having a crazy storm out there. If you lose me, keep going. I'll come back. But there's, I don't know what the hell's going on out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, for me, it's like during this Twitter time, what occurred to me is like in tennis, like unforced errors. You're making mistakes you don't have to make. If there's like an urgency, fine. But there's no, if stuff if it ain't broke, don't. Don't fix it. That's the old terminology. And Twitter, to me, it looks like, and you know what? And Gary Black was dead on. I mean, he gets a lot of crap back for being, like taking a more conservative, bullish approach. But he was pretty on Twitter the whole time, his concerns about Twitter. But I think he even thought that once the deal concluded, that the Twitter overhang was done, and it appears to have gotten
Did you get your
worse.
shirt?
Yeah, it appears to get worse. But on the flip side, I'm going to flip it around. So, I worry about the same things that Hans does long term. So, is it smart to limit your market? Is it smart to piss off potential customers so they don't buy your product? I don't, I have concerns about that. But on the flip side, we go back to where we started. If the stock price goes to 700, are people going to bitch about this stuff then? Probably not. So we think like right now, because it's a crappy time and we're in a deep hole, we think it's going to be like this forever. But like a year from now, again, we could have like a great run. The deliveries will be great in, let's say, the second quarter of 2023. Cybertruck comes out in the third quarter. We're at 750 and Elon's still acting the same, but we're all jolly.
Yeah. Very true. Go ahead, Hans.
Yeah, if he is successful with Twitter, like all this stuff will just be water under the bridge. No one will bring it up. No one will remember. No one will care. And the world will sing his praises. But, and then, the same like Tesla shareholders will go back to not holding anything against him if Tesla stock does, if we get FSD rollout and full wide release, and we're on a solid path to regulatory approval. Like the implications of that are so freaking massive that when the market gets it, it's going to be insane. And that kind of thing is the reason that we're invested, because there are these just incredibly asymmetric options that are present in the stock. And yeah, where else are you going to find that?
I think that that's part of the equation that makes the dialogue of today somewhat difficult for some folks to process, because the in the long term, given Elon's past execution, if what he does becomes reality, none of this fucking matters. It really doesn't. But not everybody has that lens, rightfully so. And it's not a sure thing that the future is going to happen, you know? And even though different people have different statistics of saying, you know, I feel it's very confident, but does the average Tesla investor feel it's they're very confident this is going to come to fruition? You know, like it's that's the important lens here. It's very, very important. It's probably going to happen. Look at what he did with Tesla and SpaceX. The dude is obviously a master executioner at making things to be undeniable. Like he is the most he's the best when it comes to creating things that are undeniable. You just cannot deny their greatness. However, however, not recognizing the path towards that potential insane greatness in the future and just saying, just, you know, you're whining about it, you're like, you're kind of like, you're not really giving this proper thought is not a service to the community. It's not a service to the community. And I think it's very, very important to voice those opinions because they are super valid. It especially if for some reason it doesn't pan out. Then what happens then? What's the lesson we missed there? It's like, wow, okay. So the worst thing that could have happened from us, you know, having a community that's voicing their real opinions and the everybody's voice is all sort of equal and coming towards it, is that we're all wrong and we have an incredible society. Great, cool. I'm more than willing to accept that. However, what's the opposite? It can be devastatingly terrible, right? So on balance, I think like that lens is I think important for us to sort of, and I'm not saying you guys specifically, anybody in the comments, I'm just making commentary here, right? I think it's that's what's fascinating about this time. So you have a dude that can very well execute incredibly well long term, and he probably will. But boy, is it a challenging path for some, you know, for a lot, actually, for a
Yeah,
lot.
I actually kind of have the one of the frameworks that I've been thinking about this is that, if you watch things like the BBC commentary or you read Liftoff, you get a sense of for the people that were really close to Elon Musk, it was really, really difficult. And there was a lot of churn. It was tumultuous. And like even Elon, his personal actions, like the one of the interns who he thought was responsible for one of the rockets failing because a nut came off, and eventually they figured out it was because of corrosion, but he thought that it hadn't been put on tight enough, and he said so publicly. And that intern said, "You know what? I'm out." Like, even afterwards, Elon found out that that was not the case, but he would not say, "I was wrong about that." And that person was like, "You know what? Forget it." And then his boss also shortly after left the company. He had better feelings towards the company than the intern did. But those types of things, like, they just chip away at people. And I think this is one of the reasons why there's so much churn in the upper echelons of Tesla management, is just because it's really, really difficult to put up with a lot of the things that are the way that Elon Musk operates, that, they produce amazing results, but the closer you are to that, the harder it is to deal with it. And then, so all that said, I think that what he's embarking on with Twitter brings all of us, because it's so public, I think it brings us all in a little bit closer to that chaos
You
that
got
we've
it.
been insulated from before. And so
Bingo.
now we're experiencing some of, a smaller taste of the exact types of things that have sent a lot of people away from Tesla. They're just, I just don't think I can deal with this anymore. And so, I don't know what everyone does with that, but that's one of the, I guess, the realizations that I've had walking through this whole journey. And, maybe that's the reason, like, it's it's only a small exposure to that. Like, I still don't have to sleep on the factory floor and have no family life and get yelled at and be super stressed. Like, I just have to make sure that my risk exposure is something that I'm comfortable with and that I'm keeping a razor's eye on the performance, like the fundamental performance of Tesla, the company, and let everything else not necessarily bother me as much.
Go ahead, Brooker.
I've been itchy here. So I haven't traded as long as you guys. So, and I've like done some ridiculously stupid stuff, and I know we all did. I'd watch a stock go from like 4 to 12,000 and wait for it to go to 30,000 and not take profit, and it would go down to 4. And so, but after that happened, I learned not to do that again. But especially after COVID, because there was a lot of money available, there was a huge number of new people in the stock market. And they entered in a 1918 equivalent time period, and then during an economic period that's probably unique, and their entire experience is a shit show. I think Farzad, I remember, I think you made a video I saw about your first bear market. Well, their introduction is a 100-year bear market. And so it probably doesn't make a difference, in reality, what stock you were in. If you were in Shopify when it was at, 1,000 or whatever, and now it's at 300, and that was your first entree into the market, that would really create a lot of despair and would probably encourage you to put your money elsewhere. And, for a lot of people, that's all the money they have. That's it. So, and it may not have been prudent to do, but it happened. And they suffer the ramifications. And then when they believe on top of that someone is not looking out for their interests, that really makes them pissed off.
That's a great point.
And they're less likely to come back. They're less likely to support you. And, over the last month, I have heard the term Tesla a lot less than Elon or Twitter. And I really bought into Tesla, and I believe in the dream of Tesla. Twitter is fine, but when I bought into Tesla, Elon did not own Twitter. I'd understand the difference, if you're buying in now and he owns Twitter. Like, you buy stock today, you're buying into the situation today, fine. You take it as it comes. But before, there was nothing negative about Tesla, and now there are issues. So,
There were a lot of negative things about Tesla, though, in all earnestness, like back in 2016, 2017, 2018. I mean, if you thought it was bad now, boy, was it a freaking disaster then, But I do think in the near term, like say since 2020, since the sort of COVID bull market or whatever the hell you want to call that time period, the craziness of the whatever the fuck happened, it that tone shift was new. From what I experienced, it was the positive Tesla tone, the positive Elon tone was like, if I put my Tesla historian hat on, was somewhere between, call it 20, from when he came to prominence, from 2012 to about 2014, it was kind of like this darling success story. Wow, the future looks amazing. And then he started getting a lot of positive notoriety. And then for whatever reason, there's a lot of speculation as to why this was the case. Disruption, oil companies, news articles, whatever, people out to get him. Whatever the reason is, 2014 to 2019, Tesla was dragged through the mud everywhere that I saw. Everywhere that I saw, yet they still survived. So that was very encouraging. And then for the last year or two, it's been sort of this again, this it was positive. And then recently, since really he took on Twitter and some of the stuff that's been happening with Elon being more opinionated and stuff, which he has every right to do, it's sort of the tone is shifting, but it's not as dramatic as I saw it before. So what I expect to happen if I'm like thinking through this, I feel like this could be the perfect time for Elon to really allow the leadership team at Tesla to shine. as bright as they should. And like, I am totally for Elon focusing 100%, not 100% on Twitter, but like putting as much energy as he possibly can behind Twitter to make it into the thing he wants to make it. And then let the 100,000 plus people you've hired at Tesla to that do an incredible job, let them carry the company forward, be involved in the sort of like design engineering stuff, the future products and stuff. Let the CEO role go. Have somebody kind of, you know, naturally rise from the staff, and then focus your energies on the things that you want to do. And that way Tesla develops its own image. Tesla becomes, it's sort of like, you know, it's kind of grown up. It's the bird now that can fly away from the nest. You have insane amounts of talent. Let it take off. Be there in a sense of continuing to move the future forward, but remove yourself from the CEO role and the duties there. And then focus on Twitter, which I believe, honestly, and this is something I've been playing with in the last 24 hours, I believe Twitter is more important than Tesla for humanity's long-term success. And it's, and I can, I mean, I don't want to segment this away, but that's another thing here too, you know? Anyway, I don't know if I took this a crazy way, but I'll shut up here. And
I was going to say, that may be the case. I don't know. Gary Black seemed to think that if Elon stepped down as CEO of Tesla, it would be a huge negative for institutional investors. And again, he's been a good source of, I think, information from a not a negative point of view. And so I'm going to trust him on that. But I would like, but on the flip side, and I think as opposed to that, I would like Elon to name Joe Blow as his successor. I'm going to groom him for the next 5 years. I'm going to teach him how to run the business. Then I'm going to step aside. I'll be chairman of the board or whatever, and I'll be in charge of product development or whatever. But I think that would be a positive. But stepping aside just kind of without having anybody kind of feeling what he wants and That's knowing fair. His direction, I think would be a negative like that. So
that's fair. No, that's fair.
I nominate Andre Karpathy. Like, I was thinking about this, that, you know, the ultimate future of Tesla probably lies in AI. And I know that Andre loves the technical issues. And I know that he's not going to want to do that role. Like, that's why he left, was because he didn't want to have to be that guy. But I think he absolutely can be that guy. And I think that hopefully, like, if Tesla really starts playing the role within the AGI space that it can, I think Andre might be, he might realize that he has a responsibility to step into that, that even though he doesn't necessarily want to, he might rise to the occasion.
I think, go ahead, Richard.
I was going to say, I heard his Lex Fridman interview. I understood like 4% of it. But the part that I did understand is it sounded like he didn't like to manage. Yeah. That was like something he didn't like to do. But I could see him coming to Tesla, occupying the role of chief AI officer, a new role, and be in charge of that whole division and running a division as he chose, something like that.
Well, the way that I would see that evolving is that he would come back to work on Bot. He would end up making large contributions to AGI, and then it would get to this point where he realized the importance of it and wouldn't be able to walk away and would end up having to basically rise to the occasion.
I don't think that he would be a good fit for that role, because unless you want to do it, don't do it. Like, it has to be part of your core. It has to be part of your, like, your...
But Elon doesn't want to do it.
I think he does, in a way. He says he does. I feel like part of him... See, this is where I go back and forth, because he doesn't want to do it, but he feel like he feels like he has to, which means in some way he wants to do it, right? Whereas Karpathy, like, of course, he's a brilliant engineer and he's extremely good at what he does. If you outright come out before even taking the role and says, I don't like to manage, like, I don't have high hopes that, it's not even high hopes is the right word. I just don't, like, for his own sake, he knows that he's not going to be great in that role, because unless your entire soul is in that, you're not going to be effective, especially as measured to somebody like Elon, who's going to have a generational impact on that role. And this is really the impossible mission here, is that is not, it's like the conundrum here is that the dude is so freaking good at what he does that whoever steps into his role is going to be worse. And that's something we have to be willing to accept, because yeah. Elon's not going to be around forever, right? So the thought process becomes, who's the one that's most likely to execute the future of Tesla in the best possible manner possible that is respectful of Elon's capabilities? You know, and I'm not saying this happens in the next year. I'm not saying this happens in the next 5 years, even, to Richard's point. Like, this needs to be a prolonged thing. But it's obvious that with him taking on Twitter, that even though it might be even though he might take a CEO and plop him in at the role of Twitter, he's going to be involved in Twitter, because obviously this is something that's very important to him. I mean, he's selling shares to ensure that the company survives. To me, it seems like it's very important to him. And I don't think it's something that he does very half-assedly, right? There's going to be timeshare away from him. But again, what I go back to is, like, if Tesla has all this talent, this is the perfect time. Like, the company is going to be making incredible amounts of money here in the next 2 to 5 years, regardless of who's at the head. And that's just facts. Like, it's all a question of what are the future products going to be, right? It's going to make $50 billion a year, $100 billion a year of cash flow, regardless of who's at the helm right now, especially if Elon's involved in some way. It's about 10 years down the road. It's about 20 years down the road. This is the perfect time to start that process. And him taking on Twitter could be that catalyst. It might be like, this is the Elon way of saying, like, hey, look at me. My attention's away. Who's going to fucking rise up? Who's got this? Who's got this, bro? Like, who here in Tesla has this? Like, yeah, Zach, you're amazing. You know, everybody else on the executive staff is amazing. But okay, now my attention is away. We're going to 20 million cars a year. It would be lovely if somebody can step up and, like, do what I do so that I can go do the things I love or do the things that I feel like are most important, right? I wonder if how much of that dynamic is also part of his thought process behind acquiring Twitter when he did.
Who would your top candidates be? Like, if you had to list, how does someone come in and fill those shoes? And who is it? And if you can't think of a who, then what are their, like, without a name, like, what
this is going to be an unpopular opinion. This is going to be an unpopular. I think Zach, based on the state of the company now, mainly because
full cook.
But the dynamic could be different with, as long as Elon is still part of the company in design and engineering. Like, it's like, ideally, I want like a SpaceX type dynamic, right? But what's undeniable is that in the next 5 to 10 years, Tesla's cash flow is going to be completely and utterly bananas. It's going to be just dumb. And I think that's something that's important to keep in mind, is Tesla's going to make so much fucking money, it's going to be insane. It's going to be completely ridiculous. So in my head, I'm like, okay, so if we're going towards a space where Elon is now crafting Twitter to be this everything app that's going to enable folks to make money through that app, and this is sort of where my long-term vision of Twitter starting to, like, crystallize in my head, and how it's like okay, should I get into this? Because this is gonna sound weird. Like, I want to make sure you guys have voice your opinions about Elon, and he's making a mistake, you know, if he's making a mistake, he's not making a mistake. If there's anything else on that topic, let me know, because I'm about to go a completely different direction here.
before you go, I'm going to use, this is my psychological profile. It's worth zero. I was a psych major at UCLA about 140 years ago. So it's based upon my recollection of that. But I always believe Elon, it's not a human job. What he did was not a human job. So there's very few people on Earth that, one, would do it, and two, were capable of doing it. It's like my son. I have a son that works at a big law firm in New York who's much smarter than I, and I would never do his job. I'd have no interest in doing it. And I think most people would not do it. And so I wonder, when I hear about Elon sleeping on the floor, et cetera, one, my question to you, Farzad, was whether you think you need someone who's capable of putting in that same effort in the future. But my question was, somebody who acts like that, to me, sounds like they're trying to punish themselves. And, you know, because that's not, why would anybody subject themselves to that inhuman treatment? That, to me, it's reflecting a psychological state,
I think it's just too, it's
which is
too
unfortunate.
important. It's too important in his head, right? I think, go ahead, Hans.
I agree with both of you. Like, I think it is too important in his head. He believes like it's worth the sacrifice. But I also think that you don't subject yourself to that amount of pain, even for something that you believe is important, if there's also part of you that doesn't believe that you deserve it.
Huh. So you think there is that, like, are we talking trauma of some sort here? Like, is that kind of what where you're going?
I mean, so I'll echo, like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not a psychological
Oh, I thought you
professional.
knew everything, bro. Come on.
I am a foster father, and we have to do a lot of, we're exposed to a lot of trauma. And I can tell you that the emotional and physical abuse that he and his family suffered, purportedly at the hands of his father, like, you don't just like undo that. And you know, it's hard to say how someone who is on the spectrum processes that in the long term, because it is different than for people who are neurotypical. But yeah, like he may not think that he's a masochist, but it sure seems like he's okay with a much higher level of pain than most people. And yeah.
It's insane. It's like it's legit. I mean, it's part of the reason why I think he has so much respect from so many, because it's like I think a lot of us view us, you know, the you view like, wow, like what a role model for like busting your ass to make stuff happen, like at the limit, you know. He always talks about doing things at the limit. I think he's operating as a human being at the limit, you know, especially within the context of getting stuff done. But yeah, it's the psychology of it is fascinating. Go ahead, Borghan. I saw your
Yeah, I
comment.
was going to say, I've noticed, and you know, I've noticed his relationship with his mother, and I noticed like the deafening absence of his father. Not just like his father died or something, whatever. It was the complete absence of, which is much stronger than, you know, than that. So yeah, I think he was traumatized, and like a lot of people, you know, people act different after trauma. Some end up being super successful. Some end up being alcoholics, drug addicts. You know, it's all over the place. But in my opinion, the fact that he would subject himself, and my parents, you know, went to concentration camps, so I'm familiar with the mistreatment of people. My parents were certainly much more familiar with it than me. But people usually don't do that unless they're responding to something internal, not external. They've internalized it somehow, and that's how it's showing itself. And it's a sad thing. That's why I feel real sympathy. You know, I'm pissed at Elon, but I also feel huge sympathy for him and empathy that, you know, he's had a difficult go. He's obviously having a difficult time now. He probably doesn't have enough advisors that help him out, really. And so I'm sympathetic to him. You know, I'm all over the place. That creates the more of a chaotic feel on my own part. I'm not just pissed. I'm here for the long ride, but I am sympathetic to his path, how he got here.
Yeah. Shout out to Mae Musk. That's what it really comes down to. Like, I don't think that woman gets enough credit. Like, you think about the three kids she's raised, like, you know, holy shit. Damn. For real. Absolutely nuts. Go ahead, Hans. Before
No,
I
I'm just
start taking
agreeing
this
100%.
to a weird place. Okay. All right, ready to go to a weird place? All right, here we go. So, by the way, thank you all very much in the comment section so far. We're an hour in, and it feels like we've only been here for like 15 minutes because the discussion has been so, I think for me, it's been very valuable to hear y'all's opinions and really thinking through it. So I appreciate everybody in the chat. Thank you, everybody, for keeping it respectful. Thank you very much, mods, for keeping the conversation nice and clean. Thank you very much. Okay, so the question arose around, okay, so who would you put in place at Tesla if you know, if it makes sense for Elon to sort of step away and go into the next thing? So here's the way I'm thinking about it. So Elon is obviously a long-term kind of guy, like 20 years down the road. You know, like this guy has a lens that is quite far visualizing or whatever, however you want to say that. So the important thing here to keep in mind is that Tesla's success long-term, I think in Elon's head, is probably, he's acting in a way as if it's going to be completed, right? Even though he might outwardly say, hey, this is going to be a very hard thing to do. It's going to be something that is going to require a lot of effort. That's true. But the assumption is that the goals he's setting forth for the company are correct. So full self-driving will come to fruition. The bot will come to fruition. These are two gigantic levers that not only unlock stupid amounts of value for the company, but they also act in a way to automate work. It automates work. That's really what's happening here. And that's why you have so much value created. FSD automates all transportation, and the bot automates all human labor. Okay. So I think the reason why Elon views Twitter to be so important is because I think Twitter is going to become a way for people to fill the gap of the earnings that they would lose from having those kinds of jobs and instead having a marketplace where they can make money. And sort of the reason why that I'm thinking about it that way is like, okay, so once full self-driving goes live next year or 2024, it's going to allow fleet operators to take a cut of every single ride that happens. And then that's how you build a business. That's how you make money. You're automating away a job, but you're making money. The bot is pretty self-explanatory. Okay. So for Twitter's long-term success, it needs to have a capability that's very similar to YouTube, where the creator is able to make money through that platform in some way, shape, or form. And it is not just going to be, I think, a freedom of speech platform. It's not just going to be a place where, you know, I put out a tweet that said if Elon and the Twitter team are figure out how to make a diversity of thought more profitable than tribalism, then they're going to be successful in their sort of freedom of speech goals. And Elon said, indeed. So that sort of started getting my brain going. And okay, so it's about making the platform as profitable as possible, not just for advertisers, but for the individual. Because you think about creators that are going to be on there. So I think that's going to be expanded. So what I believe is happening here is that we're starting to see sort of the development of the Everything app. That's really going to be the Everything app. And it's going to allow folks to capitalize on the next generation of the economy 10 to 20 years down the road. And I believe that's why he's gone into this truly, truly. Because on one side, you're going to have a company that's going to be displacing work. And then on the other side, you're going to have a company that's going to be generating income for all the individuals that want to leverage the platform, right? And so when I think about his actions, I'm starting to view it through that lens. And so if that's the case, then that's why I feel like Twitter's likely more important than Tesla at this point, because Tesla has, one could argue it has achieved its goal. So the mission statement of the company 10 years ago was to advance the advent of sustainable transport. I think that's been achieved. You know, it's definitely advancing the advent. Is it complete there? No. But the momentum, I think the chasm has been breached. So now it becomes a question of how big of a dominant player is Tesla going to be in that respect? It's all really within the context of if you're able to sort of outsource your idea and the way you manage the company in the best way possible to your leadership, they'll be able to do that long term. But then in the case of Twitter, you need to build that platform that allows people to survive in that sort of world of full automation and robots everywhere and full self-driving cars everywhere. Yeah. And so I think getting Tesla to a point where it can exist without Elon is very important, because his focus is going to be shifted on the other side now. What do you guys think about my fucking crazy idea? You can make fun of me. It's okay, by the way.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what you're saying is reasonable. Like, I'm just still trying to... There's so many what-ifs in how all this is going to go down. I think that's the idea. I definitely think the less that people have to work, like, how do we get meaning in life? And this is definitely kind of playing in that space. I think that it will involve the internet, and it'll involve people providing meaningful experiences to other people. And so I think that Twitter definitely has a potential to operate in that space. But I also think it has a lot to do with governance and information flow and, you know, the stability of society and governments. And I think all of that probably plays into it.
Okay. Borghan, what do you think?
I was going to say, so were you like talking in part about like having in essence, somewhat of a Patreon on Twitter?
Everything. So it's like an Uber, a Airbnb, a content creator tool, a place where, you know, because the thought process here is once the bot comes around and full self-driving is in full swing, the thing that I always would hear is like, well, the economy, the invisible hand will take over. Like the economy will take care of it. Okay, cool. But how? Like, this is where I was getting so frustrated. I'm like, how? How do you do it? Like, cool. But I need to see how. I think having a platform to connect human beings is the best way to do commerce. So from that perspective, if you're able to build out that platform where human beings literally share information and data and services and products with each other, you can do anything. You can do anything. And so long-term, the development of that, offsetting the negative impacts of automating transportation and human physical labor with the bot, is going to be incredibly important, because I'm not so sure that somebody outside of sort of Elon Musk's ilk will do that for humanity. Instead, I think it will tend towards greed, and it will tend towards the hoarding of those resources for self, instead of maximizing the capability for the human for human innovation and human capability to come forward. And I think that's where Twitter fits long term. And gives me a little bit of comfort, because it's in the hands of somebody that I truly believe has humanity's best intention in mind. It doesn't discount the short-term craziness that's happening here, obviously. But if I'm trying to like view it through the lens of, okay, why is this so freaking important to him? Like, why is this so important to him? I think long-term, that could be the lens. I think it would be very harmful to have Tesla just be the remover of human labor company, unless he's tied to something that is also enabling people to make money, because that could lead to a very bad outcome, I believe.
And the other lens that, you know, I fully agree with it, a lot of people have brought up, is, you know, almost everything that he does points towards how do we set up a sustainable colony on Mars. And there's a lot of rethinking that we need to do about, you know, how do we architect governmental systems and social structures in a digitally native way. And Twitter's an opportunity to do all of that. And so, yeah, like, I think it's all of that together.
I was going to say, from a practical standpoint, this at least what occurred to me was there's a clock. There's a running clock, right? So Elon's 52. If you really believe he wants to go to Mars, if that's what your belief is, then there must be an age by which he won't be, he'll be too old at some point in time to be able to tolerate that trip. Maybe I'm incorrect, but that's my speculation. So he may only have like another 15 years on Earth, speculating that would make him about 70 approximately. And so he may not have time for like a ton of new projects, really. Tesla, we're looking, we talk about 2030. He's 60 by then. So that's 10 more years after that. Whatever new products go out beyond that, it'll go fast. Maybe when he's on Mars, he can continue to work on Twitter. He can continue to operate Tesla. Maybe. I mean, that's possible. I don't know. But there is a time limit. There is a clock.
Okay. So, I mean, so does that mean that you don't think he's got enough time to do these things then? Is that how you're viewing it?
Yeah. Or he's going to have to change his priorities. If at some point in time he's working on something that he finds more important than going to Mars, then I assume he would work on that new project. But at this point in time, it appears that seems to be his end goal, and that will have physical limitations, notwithstanding whatever he'd like to do.
And he has also talked about, not being a huge fan of all the longevity and live forever stuff. So, I think he's definitely operating within that context. That he's part of his urgency is the fact that he's not expecting to, live until he's 150 or 200 or whatever. I'm sure this will be popular in the comments, by the way, but I would vote for Farzad to replace Elon at Tesla. That's my pick. That's my
Sure.
pick.
Death wish. Thanks. Now I see how you feel about me. I don't want to stretch this one too long because the first hour was very intense conversation, and I know I want to make sure our brains are as fresh as humanly possible for the rest of the day. Did you guys want to hit any topics here before we wrap this sucker up? How are you guys feeling? Is there anything that you felt was left unsaid that we need to tackle specifically on the topic of Elon and making a mistake? We've talked a lot about that in the first hour, and there's been really good conversation in the comments. But is there something along those lines that we think is going to be valuable for the people viewing?
I would highly recommend everyone go to Connecting the Dots YouTube channel
Let me share
and
this.
watch the recent series that he's been putting out on AI Day. But the second video, which I think just released yesterday or the day before, it's recent. Towards the end of it, they had a section where the CTO that he's referencing throughout that series really analyzed risks ahead for Tesla, and it was the best articulated and most realistic, and I feel like fair assessment of the risks that Tesla's going to face. And she really was trying to highlight how governments are a huge risk moving forward, and the fact that Elon doesn't seem to be fully appreciating how big of a risk factor that is, and is kind of operating in a way right now where he's creating more ill will in that sector than positive. And so, the risk is the government, but Elon's behavior is kind of contributing to the size of the risk. So yeah, I would just recommend everyone go watch that. It was excellent. And listen to it, digest it, internalize it, and see how you feel about those risks based on whatever your investment journey looks like personally.
I listed a link to that video in the comments section as well. So thank you all. Real quick, I put a poll up where I asked, are you frustrated with Elon Musk? 606 votes, 50% yes, 50% no. Just to give you an idea of the quote unquote
The
division
split.
around this topic.
One quickie. Just that everybody, like, we're all kind of in the same boat. It's all difficult. Everybody's having a difficult time. If you're feeling bad, express your feelings. Really express it so you don't like get super depressed. And if you're feeling self-destructive, seek professional help. really, because people can get really overwhelmed
For sure.
and it can sneak up on you. Don't feel embarrassed. Take care of yourself. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. And I think that's a very important point. I think I said this at the beginning, but as a community, we really should be welcoming of all viewpoints, however it may be tough for us to hear, especially with somebody of Elon's stature or how important Tesla is to the world. Like, yes, these are extremely grand, very amazing things, but if folks in the community feel like they can't voice their frustrations properly and then don't have a way for bounce around those ideas, it's a giant disservice to our community. And, you know, we call ourselves a Tesla community. Like, we're not a community if we're not willing to have discourse around these difficult topics, regardless of how difficult they may be and how maybe personally impacted you are because you personally have invested yourself into the person and the story and the company. This is the best way to test and make sure that your conviction is placed correctly, that it's aligned with your goals as a human being, and that if there are any flaws or things that are incorrect with how you're thinking about something, they get exposed so you can address them. This is ultimately, I believe, the best way to grow and to be better over time. And it's a disservice, not just to Elon, not just to company, but to ourselves to shy away from those conversations. And I encourage everybody to, and I challenge myself to do better in this regard. And because ultimately, I think that's how you truly, we make each other better. We make the company better. We make Elon better. And in the end, I think it's a very important skill set in the type of world that we live in right now and large. Not even the Tesla thing. You think about the internet and everything that's happening right now. This is how division happens. You know, like you look at the division in the political world. Like, I can see division in the Tesla community. Like, it's a very human thing, but I think the missing thing is, like, we need to be willing to have those conversations openly and respect each other, not be dismissive. Of course, disagree if you feel like you disagree, but ultimately that's the most important thing, is that we all see each other as human beings that are trying to make sense of this craziness, and we should be there for each other as human beings first. So with that, I'll end it. Thank you so much, Orkhan. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, everybody in the comment section. Really appreciate you guys. Love you guys. We'll see you again on Monday, and have a good weekend. Enjoy your time. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Borkhan. Seriously, this was a pleasure, and we should do it more often. I think these candid conversations are very important. Thank you both. Thank you, everybody.